But here, on the very rim of known space, justice is a long way away.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining us, as always, is your co-host, Spaz.
Currently delisted because music wasn't relicensed.
Oh, that happened so many times. Transformers, for example.
It also happened to a game that just got released today. Re-released.
Re-released. We'll get to that one.
We'll talk into that. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Your co-host, Julie.
Hello from the Great North, where March can't decide whether it's spring or winter.
It's that old joke, if you don't like the weather, wait.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, but it so many places claim it as their own. Like, someone in Texas told me that joke. I'm like, I've heard so many people tell me that joke from different places.
Illinois invented the joke.
Your co-host, Thorsten. Yeah, your co-host, Thorsten.
Hi, guys. Thanks for tuning in for another... Oh my God, I forgot it. I forgot my line.
It's okay. Don't stress. Your co-host, Jacob?
Merchandising.
What?
Merchandising.
Space Game Junkie, the flamethrower.
As soon as he said merchandising, I got it. It was great. And finally, your co-host, David.
Hey, automatons, up, right, down, 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 down.
What's that from?
I guess Jacob.
That is, once again, Helldivers.
Oh. Kind of a tying game. So, friends, today... Hey. Sort of. Friends, today, Julie kind of came up with this topic, but I decided to run with it because lately I have been playing the ever-loving fuck out of RoboCop Rogue City. So we're going to talk about tying games today, and I want to start with RoboCop Rogue City because this company, I think they're called Treyon, they did a game a few years ago called Terminator Resistance, which was like many tie-in series, a lot of Terminator games are hit or miss. Like, Bethesda did a few that were really good, but then there was a good arcade game, but there have been some other ones that were like, this isn't very good. But they did a great one. And then when they did RoboCop, I'm like, I don't know. RoboCop, my friends, is my favorite 80s movie. It's my favorite movie from the 80s. And I say that knowing Last Starfighter exists. But RoboCop is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love RoboCop. Love, 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 love RoboCop. And when I heard that Rogue City was actually good, I actually put myself through watching RoboCop 2 to prepare for it. If you're not aware, friends, RoboCop 2 is nowhere near as good as RoboCop 1. Nowhere near. That is not up for debate. But the Rogue City takes place shortly after RoboCop 2. And my God, they just did. I mean, you could tell they had a budget. And I think they spent most of that budget on Peter Weller. Because he comes back to voice RoboCop. And he is, of course, terrific. Some of the one-liners they have him say in this game are great. But it's not this big, expansive open world thing. There's kind of like a few levels. There's kind of like a few levels that have, like, there's one map that gets used repeatedly, but it's nighttime, daytime, and then nighttime again. And so different things happen in this quote unquote downtown Detroit map, but it works. It's fine. It lets you be RoboCop. They got so much right. Like, when he drives out of the garage, the car bottoms out, you know, just like, look, they get so much right. And it did get me to thinking, like, why are tie-in games so inconsistent? And I want to just, I know I've been talking a lot, we'll get to everybody else, but one of the reasons, I haven't played a lot of tie-in games because I was ruined for tie-in games early on. Back in 1987? There was a tie-in game for... The book, it wasn't even a movie at this point, the book, The Hunt for Red October. And it was horrible. I mean, horrible. It flames out of the side of my face. It was so bad. I avoided tie-in games for years. I mean, I avoided Red Storm Rising, which is legitimately an excellent game. I avoided tie-in games for years, unless it was Star Trek, because I'll play anything Star Trek. But I mean, that's another podcast. But so I have a very sordid and inconsistent history with tie-in games, because that one Hunt for Red October game just absolutely ruined me. But we're going to try and keep this positive. There are a lot of bad tie. Let's get the negativity out of the way in the beginning. Julie, there was one tie-in game that you definitely wanted to talk about.
Julie.
Did we lose Julie? Joy's the
I'm here.
Okay. That's okay. So there was one tie-in game you specifically mentioned that you wanted to talk about on the show.
Well, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Like you said. And it's famous, and I had wanted to mention it because, and that's, I've never actually even played it, but so many people have told me about that. And that's E.T. the Extraterrestrial, because a friend of mine, lived near where they buried them all.
Oh, in New Mexico, I think. Is it New Mexico? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he lived right where they buried them all. He lived where they were buried them all, and it's like, you're going to come burying them all, and yes, they all are in the desert. I don't know if they were, but at the time when they buried them all, they were right where he lived. So that's, get it out of the way.
I played that back in the day because as a child, I loved E.T. I couldn't get enough of it. I think I saw it like, and this is me as a 9-year-old, I saw it like 4 or 5 times in the theater. I could not get enough E.T. So of course I got the Atari game because I had an Atari. Oh my God, I mean, there have been reams and reams of people talking about how bad E.T. is, but yeah, E.T., oh boy, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I've got to interject here. I've played it too, back in 1982 or 83. I don't remember it right now, but I don't remember it as such bad.
Oh, it's bad because
I liked it.
You must have never gotten stuck in one of those pits then, because those pits were impossible to get out of. That's what killed the game for me, is trying to levitate out of those pits and not being able to do it.
You'd run out of energy.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was part of the game simply.
Oh man. Yeah, no,
I know, I've got a bad taste.
But there are a lot of notoriously bad tie-ins. I think Superman 64 is another notoriously bad tie-in.
Yeah, Superman N64 was one of the worst.
Yeah.
Anything that was released on the NES or SNES by LJN was almost universally bad. As in, they did very little QC on it, and the game content had almost nothing to do with the licensed property that it was based on. Yeah.
Wow.
There are so many examples that we could go to, and we could probably have 2 or 3 podcasts just on the bad examples, but let's not.
Yeah. So before we get into our roundtable, I do want to talk real quickly about the game that's on the stream. This is RoboCop 3. This came out in 1992, before the movie even. And it's done by Ocean, and it's made by Digital Image Design of EF-2000 and Total Air War fame. They actually used a modified version of the F-29 Retaliator engine for this game. And it was one of the earliest 3D shooters of this type, really. And you could tell by the gameplay is so clunky. Oh my God. But I didn't play it in 1992, but my God, if I had tried to play this in 1992, I would have been blown away. Cause it's like, for 1992, it's pretty competent. And for 1992, those are impressive graphics. for 1992. Like, you get to walk around an OCP office building, you get to drive RoboCop's car, you know, and it's 3D and you're walking around shooting perps and saving hostages. Like, it's really kind of impressive, especially in the era it came out. And I just thought it was funny how it's freaking digital image design made this game. Who would go on to make some of the most acclaimed flight simulators in all of computer gaming history. It was not easy playing this game. I recorded video of me trying to drive a car and it was so bad that I had to try and play the other game mode because driving the car was so horrible. But my goodness, for 1992, this is impressive stuff, you know? And I played a lot of the RoboCop games. This is a pretty decent one. Anyway, enough about me going on about RoboCop. I could go on about RoboCop. I still have to watch that RoboDoc. Have any of you guys watched that? The four-hour RoboCop documentary called RoboDoc?
I have not.
Sadly, never.
Not yet.
I have it. I just haven't blocked out four fucking hours to watch it. But I have it because I love RoboCop so damn much. So yeah, let's move away from RoboCop.
before we jump into the main topic,
Brian,
quick digression. The game that came out today that we alluded to in
our intro. Yes.
Alpha Protocol. Very quickly, we'll mention it because it's back on GOG.
It's very important. For years, you couldn't... Yeah, for years, they took it away from Steam and GOG years ago because of music licensing, I believe, which is almost always the case. So the only way you could buy like a legal copy is if you owned an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3 and bought a used copy that way. But now it's back on the PC and it's updated for more modern machines. Like, it ran no problem out of the box for me. Apparently it can use a gamepad now. Has achievements that would
pair. Yeah, full control of support. Yep.
I think achievements were only on the Xbox 360. So that's
on console thing. Only.
Yeah. So Alpha Protocol is a terrific game, my friends. It is really one of the best spy games. Like, it's got a lot of combat, but also has a lot of amazing dialogue and choices, and like, it really makes you feel like a spy more than just about any other spy game I've ever played, you know.
Gameplay is janky as hell at times, but don't let that stop you.
Oh my god,
this thing needs a remaster of some sort.
It does, and it's got such good writing. It has multiple endings depending on how you play it. You could, like, the first time I played it through, I played it as straight, like I traded as a nice professional guy. And we got one ending, and apparently you can play it as an absolute psychopath and you'll get a different ending. And there's a video of someone playing it like that. And apparently it's hilarious because, like, everyone hates you. Your handler hates you. The people you're trying to rescue hate you. The enemies they hate you anyway, but like, they really, it's so funny.
I'm 50-50 on actually playing it, because on one hand, it does have all that cool stuff and all the character interactions and RPG stuff. On the other hand, the actual core gameplay is abysmal.
Look, all you need is a silenced pistol and then level up your pistol skills. That's all you need. Don't worry about anything else. Just worry about your silenced pistol and you'll get through the game no problem. Just don't worry about machine guns or any of that nonsense. All you need is a silence pistol, because the AI is dumb.
And if I may just jump in here, I need to say something here. I'm watching that GOG store page here. So that's 10 gigabytes. Wow. And that the Star Wars Battlefront collection that came out was 30. Just throwing that out there.
I thought it was 70. I thought it was like 70 gigs installed. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Anyway, all right. So, yeah, folks, if you haven't played Alpha Protocol, you can now get it on GOG, and I implore you to do so, because, one, they clearly went through a lot of time, effort, work, and money to bring it back to being able to be sold legally. But two, it's also a terrific game. It's also a great game. So, it's not a tie-in game. Doesn't really tie into our topic, but it's worth talking about because it's such a unique and truly.
And it happened today as we record this.
It happened this morning. Like, I'm streaming Power Washer Simulator, and Spaz is like, oh my God, Alpha Protocol is on GOG. And I bought it while I was streaming. Even though I already own it on Steam, I'm like, no, I have to support this. And so I bought it on GOG because. And so tomorrow I'm going to stream some of it. I might stream more of it. I don't know. A full gameplay can take maybe 15 to 20 hours. It's not a long game. And they encourage multiple playthroughs. So, maybe we'll do multiple playthroughs. Maybe we'll do, you know what we should do before we go, before we get on our topic. First, we'll do my normal playthrough where I play like as I would play it. And then we'll do a psycho playthrough where I do the entire opposite. Oh, that might be funny.
Let's or a manic one where you flip a coin.
Oh, the bipolar playthrough. Oh my! Oh boy!
Yeah,
Michael Thornton, undiagnosed bipolar.
Goodness grief!
Oh no!
Oh, and boy. Now I'm reminded of the line from The Tick. This sounds like a job for Bipolar Bear. I just need to get out of bed this week.
Yeah, this is... Hey, everyone, Chad. I haven't had a moment to say hello to you. This is RoboCop 3 by Ocean. Remember them? And Digital Image Design. Remember them? We just talked about that for a minute. So let's get to our topic. We'll just do a roundtable. We'll talk about some games we remember being good tying games. We want to keep this positive. We could have multiple episodes about the numerous terrible tying games that because there are so many. You just look at the catalog for the Nintendo DS, for example, and you'll see like so many horrible tying games. Oh my God. Anyway,
that's not a new thing.
Yeah. So
let's be honest here.
So Spaz, you got a good one?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. How about one that is better than it had any right to be?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long list.
Mm. Can you think of the one I'm thinking of? It's one based on a movie.
The Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay. Oh, Iron Sky Invasion. Oh, excellent pick. Yes. Oh my God, such a good pick.
It's that's a game that has no right to be remotely considering it was based entirely on a mediocre comedy film from the 2010s.
Yeah. Better than it had any right to be, and yet it is as good as it is. And despite its mixed rating on Steam, it's actually very good.
It's an excellent game. I don't know why. I think maybe it's got a mixed rating because, you know, it's not a triple A game. It's kind of one of those double A, you know, it's
well, a lot of downvotes are in regards to the dialogue and voice acting.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's kind of the point.
Did you guys not see Iron Sky? I mean, come on. Did you not see the movie upon which the game is based?
I have.
No, I'm talking to the people who are complaining about the voice acting and the did they miss something? Did they not watch the movie? I mean,
I'm sure it doesn't hurt. I mean, it doesn't help that it's about Nazis from the dark side of the moon.
Well, I think some of the people who are downvoting it are kind of upset at that.
It doesn't, but it's not like it's not like a pro-Nazi movie. It's not like the Nazis are heroes.
No. It's because they aren't the protagonists.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
clever.
That is an excellent, excellent pick, Spaz. Iron Sky Invasion. Folks, if you haven't gotten Iron Sky, is it on sale right now? The sale is going on. The big Steam sale is going on right now.
It is currently on sale for $7.99, which is absolute pennies.
It's been cheaper, though. Its historical low is $1.49.
Well, yes, but sometimes we take what we can get.
Anyway, folks, the Ultimate Edition is $10, and I would say that's worth it. Because you get a DLC in there that lets you play as the Space Nazis, and it's hilarious.
Surprisingly enough.
Yeah, and so, excellent pick, Spaz. This is, no lie, folks, Iron Sky Invasion is truly an excellent game. Excellent game. Like, I was shocked at how much I liked it. It's got great controls, great combat, seriously. It's got a meta map layer where you have to salvage things and upgrade your ship, and it's shockingly competent.
It's a bit like Star Raiders.
A bit like Star Raiders. You're flying around the map, reacting to things. Yeah. Oh, you got different. You got like fighters and bombers and all kinds. It's really, really good. Like shockingly, really, really good. Oh, excellent pick, Spaz. Excellent pick. A nice surprise there. Excellent pick. I hate to say it, I forget about this game all the time. It's easy
to forget about it.
It came out so long. It came out 12 years ago, which is eons in computer gaming time. And because it doesn't have the best ratings, like it can be easily forgotten, but yeah, this first review here, recently posted just a few days ago. Cinemax and dialogue kill this game for me. Did you not watch Iron Sky?
Not know what it's based on.
Did you, yeah. Buddy? Did you not see Iron Sky? I mean, come on.
I don't know. lack critical information.
Yeah, no. Here's another review. Game dialogue and voice acting are painfully bad. Again, friends, go watch Iron Sky before you play this movie.
I'm not going to say it's really good.
It's, no, it's not really good.
It's not. But it is required context.
If it's a Sunday afternoon and you got nothing to watch and you feel like something you can drink some wine to, maybe, or, you know, something you don't have to use your brain too much with, there are worse ways to spend a Sunday afternoon than watching Iron Sky.
In terms of the dialogue and voice acting in the game, I would say it is about on the level as what you would see in Command and Conquer.
Yeah. And it is perfectly in keeping with the movie upon which it is based. Perfectly in keeping.
Yeah.
Although remember, which nation hasn't any space warships?
Bloody Finland.
That's right. The movie is Finnish, isn't it? Because they did. They did Star Wreck.
Yeah, it's a Finnish project.
They did Star Wreck also, which I have not seen. Yeah, Star Wreck, actually.
It is a Finnish film. Produced in Finland, and yes, Finland is the only country who did not arm their spaceships.
Spaz, that is a lovely pick. I have to admit, that is a fantastic pick. Well done. Well done. All right. Julie, do you got one for us?
Well, I have a series, but I'm going to limit it to one in particular.
Okay.
And you can't buy these anywhere anymore unless you go out to Steam sometime. Not Steam, I'm sorry. Amazon. They used to have codes out there that would still work in the game.
Yeah.
And because of a whole bunch of reasons, it has to do with licensing, is that you can't buy any of the Transformers games. I have one here I'm looking at. It's an old PC DVD, and I can't even stick those into my computer anymore. and it has a copy of this, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. So if I want to play my game anymore, I have to buy something to stick it in. Transformers, another one they had, which was another movie tie-in that I really enjoyed playing, and that was The War for Cybertron. And I don't think they ever did a movie, but they did a cartoon based on that. And and I can link something like that, but only you can only link Wikipedia games because there is no game page anymore. And it's kind of sad when things like this disappear. You can still get out. It's listed as abandonware now, unfortunately. But, you know, it's one of these things where some people may not like it, but I've always been a fan of the I actually never even had any of the toys. Always been a fan of the games. And the movies have some of the character actors that I've really enjoyed over the years. So that's my choice. That's my choice.
Yeah, I've played the first one of those. I've The War for Cybertron. They were really good. Then there was the sequel, Fall of Cybertron, which is also very good. I never played the third one. Apparently it wasn't very good. Rise of the Darkspark. I never played that one.
The movie has John Turturro in it, and I would watch the movie just to see John Turturro. I can't say I am a big Shia LaBeouf fan, and Megan Fox got what she deserved, but I am never bite the hand that feeds you. But I like the fact that John Turturro's in it. I enjoy him as a character actor. And I played, I have access to two of the games. I have access to both those. So,
yeah, those are the really good ones. Those two are excellent Transformers games. Probably some of the best Transformers games. There was a beat 'em up that came up a few years ago that I can't remember the name of, but apparently that was also very good.
The one by Platinum?
I think so.
And yes, Panicus in the chat, if machines are your thing, yes, RC is a hottie, if for no other reason than her voice acting makes her seem like a hottie, but I have no desire to get a little machine anywhere, so.
I won't talk about the band Cybertronic Spree, because their RC is also a hottie. Anyway.
Truth. But anyway.
Anyway, those are good ones. It's a shame you can't buy these anymore, because maybe someday they'll come back, like Alpha Protocol. Because yeah, these were good games. They're very linear third person shooters, but they're really good linear third person shooters. Really, really good.
I don't know if the abandonware thing works or not, but I will say if it's still out there on Amazon, I got the code. I don't know if third parties are selling it, but I bought the code directly from Amazon itself, and the code worked just fine. So at the time, Steam honored the code, even though it had been delisted.
Yeah, because you still can buy codes to games like that on Amazon for even games that are delisted. But then eventually they go up like ridiculous. Like trying to find a code for Driver San Francisco. Good luck with that. So codes can shoot up in price. Once they become more and more
with scarcity.
Scarce. Yes. Yeah, but sometimes you can find some, you know, those are very good picks. These Transformers, these two Transformers games, War for Cybertron Fall of Cybertron. These two games from High Moon Studios in particular were really, really good. It was crushing when they got delisted. Like, there was hardly any warning, no sale, and just boom, gone. Very, very sad about that. All right, that's an excellent pick, Julie. Thorsten, do you got? I know you got something. Hit me.
Of course, I've got something. I mean, I've got to detonate this party here again because. There's one game I loved as a kid, and that was Ghostbusters.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, which
one? Exactly. Oh. On the C64. Again, forgotten 8-bit games again. As always, yep, Honeycus, you heard it right, C64. And I loved it as a kid. I mean, it was pretty simple gameplay, but... there was so much to love about that game.
Yep.
And It doesn't have any. There are some people out there that say that it wasn't a great game, but for me, I loved it. I simply loved it. It was fun.
I had the Atari version, so yeah, I know. I know how good it is because I played it too.
Oh, it looks like you can drive around New York and go to different buildings and
yeah, mm-hmm.
and bust some ghosts.
The Atari version was co-op, so one person would drive, the other person would use a proton pack as you're driving around to grab ghosts, and then when you are trying to capture a ghost. When you get to the building you're supposed to go to and trying to capture a ghost, you actually have to maneuver your proton beams so that they are trapping the ghost underneath the trap, you know, or with the trap underneath them, and you have to make sure you don't cross the streams, otherwise you both get knocked down, and you have to you fail the mission if you cross the streams.
Yeah. I might add the C64 version had the co-op version too. And it was fun.
Oh man, the Moby Games one says it's only one player, but maybe we have to look at specific releases. I don't know. I don't think I didn't ever play this because it never came. I didn't have one of these computers. I also didn't have an NES or a Sega Master System. So yeah, I never played this one. It looks fun though.
Oh, it was really a lot of fun.
You get to upgrade the car?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
One of the things was an Atari game.
One of the things that you could put on the top was a vacuum, a ghost vacuum. So as you're driving around, ghosts would be flying above you and you could just use the vacuum up on top and just vacuum them in.
Jeez.
Well, it's worth extra money, which you can use to then upgrade.
Oh man, so that's funny.
That's what it was for.
That's funny. Yeah, never heard of this one. Yeah, it looks great. I mean, especially for 1984, this looks pretty robust for 1984. My goodness. I do love how the Activision symbol is in the bottom of every screenshot. Like, hey, don't forget you're playing an Activision game.
Back when that was worth a damn.
It's like when all the old Microprose games have ads for their other games at the end of every game when you exit.
Admittedly, those are worthwhile.
Yeah, it's true. But back then, Activision meant something very different. Back then, Activision actually made great games.
Certainly.
So I don't blame them for this. Oh, how times have changed. Good pick. Very, very good pick. Jacob, what do you got?
For tie-in games, well, I have a lot of options because I have been the sort of person that played a lot, liked films at the time and got really sucked into tie-in games as a consequence. That, and they were cheap. Mention one that I find surprisingly good and a bunch of others that I simply find good. The surprisingly good one is actually the time game for James Cameron's Avatar from like the 2012 somewhere. I don't remember. Why was it better than expected? Because I expected it to be garbage. What did I get? A serviceable, surprisingly good third person shooter with two sub campaigns with dramatically different playstyles.
What was the game called?
James Cameron's Avatar. Oh. Plain and simple. That or James Cameron's Avatar, the game. I don't know. It's been over a decade.
There it is.
James Cameron's Avatar, the game, 2009.
Yes, you know, Jacob. I was going to talk about the exact same game myself and say probably the exact same things.
There was also a PSP version of the game, which was actually good by being a remarkably solid stealth game.
Huh. Interesting.
But as for good tie-in games, we have I said multiple because it's all the Star Wars games. There have been so many good ones. And a bunch of bad ones, but we don't talk about them. But like, we had Empire at War, excellent. We had Battlefront, excellent. All of them. Even the EA ones are okay, just worse. We had
very pretty, if not great.
We had Force Unleashed, which was a very much a product of its time, a QTE filled like slasher game, but I loved it. We had the Jedi Outcast and Jedi Survivor games, which I played and I really liked them. In general, it's a wonderful setting to get stuff done in, and it just seems to get banging after banger games, despite being owned by Electronic Arts. Owned, licensed primarily by Electronic Arts.
There was a period where,
I do wish that Lucas Games proper, and I feel like that's part of it. The reason why so many games were good is because we had Lucas Games proper.
Yeah.
Instead of it being farmed out to anyone who asked nicely. Like quite often happened, because quite a lot of times the tie-in games simply rely on the brand to carry themselves forward, and use that to sort of coast on it, and go ahead without any without actually putting in effort into a good game. However, Lucas Games, owners of the Star Wars franchise, knew that if they screw up those games, that's their name on the box. That is their franchise's reputation on the line, and they better not mess this up. And they typically didn't.
A lot of times they did not, yeah. They put out a lot of great Star Wars games. A lot of great Star Wars games.
Absolutely. Personal favorites probably has to be Empire at War, because it's the brilliant RTS, even if it has some jank in it.
Yeah.
To put it bluntly.
For me, it's TIE Fighter. Like,
well, that's fair.
The ultimate, for me, that is the best Star Wars game ever made, personally.
I'm not going to argue here. It is exceptionally good.
The Empire War.
Which one was really good, better than it had any right to be?
Go on.
Pod Racer.
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, especially the sequel, Racer's Revenge. That was even better. Like, seriously, you had like rivals and shit in that game, and it, like, there was a little more of an RPG element to it. Like Pod Racer, the first one was great, but Racer's Revenge was really, really great. But it was like a console exclusive. That's why not as many people remember it. But they were both great. Those racer games were really, really great. Still great. Like, I think you can get Racer on just about the first Racer on just about everything these days. It's on the Switch and the PC. I think it's on everything.
Yeah, that was one of the things that the Star Wars games, because they were, about wide license, they were on pretty much everything, including, like, the DS.
Yep.
I don't
know. One could argue about the quality of some of the ports because of the limitations of the platform on which they were.
Yes, I still distinctly remember the fact that a lot of the DS games were just a small little indie game based on the main game, because there was no way in hell to actually fit in the proper one.
Yeah.
Which had its appeal.
I mean, the DS is a lot of great games that aren't tie-in.
Oh,
games.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Got an amazing library that are not tie-in games. I don't even know if I have a tie. Like, I have so many games on my 3DS, but I don't know if any of them are tie-in games. Honestly, I don't think I have any. Come to think of it. But this Avatar game, can you buy this digitally, this original Avatar game, or would I have to see
the 2009
the store page exists on Steam anymore. I have a digital copy on Steam though, so
it might have been delisted. I'm not sure.
It appears to have been delisted, which is unfortunate. It was, which is surprising because it was Ubisoft made.
Yeah.
And it must have gotten and back license now for the new Avatar game, right?
No, yeah, they have it. The game is just still unlisted, but they still absolutely... Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
Huh.
It's a mystery.
That is weird, considering, Ubisoft has a new Avatar game out.
Which is apparently just kind of Far Cry.
Let's see. Can you buy it on... Oh, I cannot buy it on Amazon. As a download, anyway. interesting. Anyway, I'll have to keep an eye out for that because it actually looks pretty good, this Avatar the game. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of
You know, the best game ever, but it's serviceable.
Well, it looks like my kind of game.
Fair enough.
It looks like my kind of jam. So this could be fun. Anyway, that is a good one. And yeah, Star Wars games, man. Like with
we Star could do a couple of podcasts just on Star Wars games.
Oh my God. I think we've at least done one. Maybe.
We
should revisit. I don't know, but Star Wars games. Anyway. So David, you got one?
Yeah, I guess I'm following in the footprints here of the Julie here with another Transformers game, and that's going to be the one for the DS of all things. Let me provide a link here.
That's a good one.
Yeah, of course, this is the Autobots version. I actually bought the Decepticon version back then. And
oh, this is good.
They have two wildly different storylines, and it's kind of funny how the Decepticon campaign ends pretty much. You go and save Megatron, and then he just rips out your power core and then just leaves you to die. It's pretty great. Speaking of, what made these DS games pretty interesting was that you create your own Transformer. I mean, you don't really create your own.
But
you have your own main character to play as.
And what you do is you can scan different vehicles in the setting and... utilize them.
Wow.
It's really cool. It's filled with jank, and it has probably not aged very well, but it's pretty damn cool. And yeah, you have two different storylines, and yeah, your main character dies in, I think, even in the Autobot campaign as well, Autobot version, which I linked there. But then you get a heroic sacrifice for Optimus or whatever. But yeah, I played the Decepticon version, and yeah, that was an experience. Yeah, I did it for you.
Well, now I gotta find a way to buy an old Nintendo DS.
Oh yeah, find a 3DS and get it modded. Seriously, I have a modded 3DS XL, and I think I've got just about every DS and 3DS game I could possibly want on the damn thing. It's amazing, especially since the
modded how.
Let's not talk about that on.
Yeah, that's a whole different
on here.
Yeah,
talk about that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. but basically, yeah. Anyway, so the 3DS is actually a wonderful device because you can play DS and 3DS games on it, and there's so many amazing games.
You can also go to the cheaper option, which is getting a 2DS, which is what I have.
Oh, that's true.
The 2DS doesn't have the 3D option, obviously.
I never use it. It's such a gimmick.
Exactly. So if you have just a 2DS, you're fine for most things. And
the main issue I have with it is it's not bendable. It's just a brick.
True.
Yeah, having that clamshell design is really, really nice, especially for traveling. It's really, really great.
Doesn't the DS Lite bend like that?
Yeah,
DS Lite does.
Yeah, all the DSs except the 2DS are clamshells.
They're all bendy.
Yeah, so the 2DS is like a flat kind of tablet type of thing, whereas the DS in that family, and then the 3DS, they're all clamshells. So they all do the foldable thing.
So would a DS Lite play that game that David came up with?
Yeah,
most likely. Yeah,
I was just gonna suggest a 3DS or a 3DS XL because you can play both DS and 3DS games on that thing, and so you expand your library that way. But with a DS Lite, I think doesn't the DS Lite still have the GPA port? I think
there are two versions of the DS Lite, and there was the DS Lite and the DSi, if I remember correctly, was the designation. The DS Lite had the GBA port.
And the DSi was was digital only. It wasn't meant to use. Yeah. Yeah, that was when they wanted you to start to use the eShop more, so they went to the DSi.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a DS Lite has both the DS and GBA ports on it.
Yeah, so it's, DS Lite is also a good buy because again, you do get the DS games and Game Boy Advance games can be played on the thing. So that's amazing right there. Also, it's a wonderful machine to have even today. There are so many good games for the DS and 3DS. It's ridiculous. Like, there are so many good games for this platform. I'm not even kidding. If you're into portable games at all, it's worth owning one of the DSs, I think. Because they're just, and they're not, a lot of the games aren't that expensive to find cartridges for them. They're not very, like, there are some rare ones, but like, I doubt Transformers, Autobots, or Decepticons are very expensive on eBay, for example.
They are, like, arguably a cult classic, but the cult is very small.
Well, then can I just say rest in peace 3DS eShop?
But the cartridges are like, I'm looking at eBay right now. I'm looking at Amazon right now. You can get a used copy of Transformers Autobots for $6 before shipping. So yeah, a lot of these DS cartridges are not expensive, and you can get a really good library. Like the first game I ever got when I got a 3DS was Age of Empires. Age of Empires 2, Age of Kings. It's not a real-time strategy game. It's a turn-based grand strategy game that is excellent. I'm not even kidding. Excellent. So seriously, if you're interested in if you're interested in 3DS games or DS games at all, it's worth having one of these things. Seriously. Oh my God. I can't recommend enough. I still use my 3DS regularly. Like when I'm going somewhere, it's so easy to put in a bag and you got all these games at your disposal and it's got such a varied library. You got RPGs, you got strategy games, you got action games, you got racing games, you got like, it's such a unique library. Like the Star Fox game on that thing, that's the only Star Fox game I've played, but you control it using the stylus. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird, but it works. And all the Pokemon games alone are worth having that platform. Like some of the best Pokemon games you're going to get are on that platform. Like Pokemon Conquest, which is a Pokemon grand strategy game. it's amazing.
A Pokemon grand strategy game.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Think of Three Kingdoms mixed with Final Fantasy Tactics, and you have
honestly. After I learned there's a Pokemon roguelike, at that point I'm just kind of expecting anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a mix of like Three Kingdoms and Final Fantasy Tactics, and it's really good. It's really, really, really good.
Oh my God. Total War Pokemon. Okay.
I'm not kidding. That's what it is. Yeah. Except the combat is turn-based. It's not real-time. But besides that, yes, it is basically Total War Pokemon. And it's so freaking good. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so good. So since we're back around to me... Wait, David, we got to you, right? We got to you.
Oh yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's another one I wanted to mention that I started playing not too long ago, Wolverine Origins. I never saw the movie. Apparently the movie was terrible. But the game, which I believe is made by Raven, is shockingly good.
As in that Raven software?
Yes. And let me double check, but I'm pretty sure it is that Raven. X-Men Wolverine. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, no, that's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the PC one. Hang on. But anyway, I believe the PC version is made by Raven, I think. So I'm thinking of someone different. Oh no, that's a different one. No. Mobi Games is letting me down. They never. Wait, hang on. Yeah, maybe that's the one. Hang on. Yeah, that's the one. Thank you. That is the one. I have it on PC. And yeah, it's made by that Raven. That same Raven. And it is really, really good. Like, shockingly, shockingly good. Like, I was shocked how much I was enjoying this game. It's hard. It's a hard game. But wow. Wow, it's good. It's so good. Yeah, that's another one that, like, was like, how is this so good? It's based on a terrible movie. I didn't see the movie.
It has no right to be this good.
Yeah, exactly. I never saw the movie. I heard it was terrible, but my God, that's another, it's sad. It's not available digitally, because it is definitely worth playing. And it actually runs like out of the box on PC today, which is crazy. I got it running on Windows 10 like a year or two ago with no problems, like installed from the disk. No problem. Very unexpected. And oof, it's so good. It's so good. So Thorsten, did you say you had another one you wanted to mention?
Actually two, but first Julie, that's best.
No, we're not going in any order anymore. We already did the roundtable, so if anyone has another one they want to throw in, because we're approaching an hour, so everyone got in one, and you said in the chat you wanted to, you had one for me, so I wanted to jump right to you.
Okay, I've got actually two. Okay. The first one is Die Hard, 1989, made by Dynamics.
Wait, you Dynamics? What?
Yeah, that's right. Dynamics. And look what it is. Look at the screenshots, please.
Whoa!
It's a 3D action game.
It's a 3D, like, third-person action game. In 1989.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Wow.
One of the forgotten gems.
My God.
And this game was pretty good, actually.
Wow.
It captured the movie pretty good, the feel of the movie, and a lot of scenes from the movie, too.
Wow. Oh, my God. These CGA screenshots are horrific. Oh, wow. I know, but still, like, it just always amazes me the difference between CGA and EGA. Like, holy moly. Like, hey, we can get realistic colors in a game now. Look at that.
Instead of whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the NES version. Actually, I think I still have it.
Oh, goodness.
Was on the NES?
Yeah, really? This game. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? It's only saying DOS here. I wonder if it's a different one. 1991 NES. Oh, that's made by a different company. Pac-In Video.
Yeah. Different company, but under the same license.
God, this makes it look like this cover makes it look. I as soon as I look at this cover, I'm like, is that the Twin Towers? Oh, no, it's not. I know, but that's what I saw for a second. Anyway, the covers are very similar, actually. But wow, yeah, Dynamics. Look at that. Look at them go. Yeah. I mean,
and I've got another special treat for you.
Go for it.
And that's Yes, Prime Minister.
Oh, I keep meaning to play this one out of sheer curiosity.
you know it? Okay.
No, I have heard of this one. Folks, if you're unaware, in the 80s, there was a British comedy show called Yes Minister and its sequel Yes Prime Minister, and people who have worked in government say it's more of a documentary than a comedy, because apparently it's that realistic. But it's some of the funniest, probably one of my favorite comedies of all time. It's so well written and funny, and like, watching this show has improved my language skills. I'm not even kidding. Like, the way it's written, it's so well written. Like, I found myself talking better because of this show. But yeah, apparently
that is impressive.
It's the show is impressive. If you can track down a copy, I highly recommend it. Nigel Hawthorne as Humphrey is just one of the finest characters ever put to screen. And some of the things, oh my God, it's so fucking fun. Anyway. So basically, yeah, it's kind of like it's like you make these decisions as PM. It looks like a very basic game, but I've been meaning to try and track down a copy so I can stream it. Cause I think that would be funny. One of the oldest games I've ever streamed, probably.
Look at the screenshots.
I know. They're so bad. like, oh my God, 1988. What was going on? Like, oh yeah, the DOS version is mostly black and white. oh God, so bad. I wonder if it's Brian. Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
No, go ahead.
I guess we're starting to run out of time, so but if I might interject or something like that,
of course.
I guess I have an example for you to talk about, which okay. I haven't played. I played another one though, and we already talked about Star Wars, but hey, please talk about TIE Fighter.
Have you not played TIE Fighter?
No, I have not.
Oh, sir, do you have a joystick?
I don't know if my CH Pro will work with that and my HOTAS throttle, but
well,
maybe I can find a solution.
No, it'll only work with the stick, because TIE Fighter never supported a throttle. Even though joysticks had throttles back then, it did not support a throttle. Only X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and X-Wing Alliance supported a throttle, and even then it was kind of slapshot. TIE Fighter, like, you would never think after playing X-Wing, like, why would I play a game as the fascist empire? And the way they make you sympathize with the empire in this game is amazing. Like, yes, it's a fascist.
Explain.
It's a fascist organization, but as a pilot, you're just bringing peace to the galaxy, man. You're just trying to bring peace. You're just trying to bring stability.
If anything, the freaking empire keeps getting in the way.
There's actually an imperial civil war that happens in the game, and
fun.
And so the story is amazing. They actually bring things in from the new at the time novels, like Heir to the Empire and stuff. So Thrawn is in the game, which was mind blowing back in the day because the novels were only a year or two old when this game came out. And it's got an amazing story, wonderful writing, amazing music. Like, the music is situational. They use this thing called the iMuse system, so the music changes based on what's happening in the game. And some of that music just so well done. And you definitely need a joystick to play it. Just about any joystick will do, because like, it's DOSBox, so just a cheap stick will be fine. But it's got amazing dogfighting. Like, the dogfighting is super satisfying. The missions are kind of puzzly. So, like, that's probably the big frustration of the game is, like, if you don't do the mission the right way sometimes, you'll get stuck on that mission. So that is one of the negatives of TIE Fighter. But if you get into it and you can muscle through it, you're talking 120, 150 missions. With the two expansions, there's a lot of content. And you're flying everything from the basic TIE Fighter to the TIE Defender, which if you've seen Rebels, for example, one of the best starfighters in any game. The missile boat, which is an amazing piece of kit. My most amazing gaming moments happened in TIE Fighter. Like, there are still missions I remember from TIE Fighter. Oh God, 30 years. It came out 30 years ago, you guys. Oh my God. It came out in 1994. Oh.
I feel old now.
Oh, damn it. damn it. But yeah, if you haven't played TIE Fighter, the assault gunboat has a special place in my heart because one of the most intense gaming experiences I've ever had was with an assault gunboat. That game. I can't recommend TIE Fighter enough, you guys, if you haven't played it. You don't need a complex joystick, just 4 buttons will do. You don't need a twist or anything because it's an old DOS game. It's an old game, so it's not super pretty or anything, but the gameplay is fucking magical. Like even today. I'd recommend playing the original, the vanilla, if you haven't played it before. I mean, you can get a mod for X-Wing Alliance that lets you play TIE Fighter in X-Wing Alliance, but you don't need to go through all that. The original game is fine. It's great. I mean, the music is great. The writing is great. Yeah, if you have a joystick, Dave, and you haven't played this, just try some of the training scenarios to get a feel for it. I think for my money, it's the best Star Wars game that's ever been made. I know a lot of people will say other things, but I think pound for pound, it's the best Star Wars game ever made. You mean?
I'll play it sooner or later.
Please. It's so good. It's so good. If you want, I think I streamed all of it on the YouTubes, over like 20 entries, maybe like a lot of entries. It's a long game. It's a long game. It's so good though. It's so good. Did anyone have any other good tying games they wanted to throw at us before we wrap up or not?
We should do a second off that show.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll do another entry of this. Look at that. Playing DOSBox games with a controller. I don't know if I want to play TIE Fighter with a controller. That just seems really strange.
It's nice to have an option.
I guess it's nice to have an option. There's a guy on one of the other discords I'm on. He's playing like old Jane's games with a controller. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But apparently it works. And I could see it working. Like how they got all those controls onto that PS2 Battlestar game, I have no idea, but they did it. So I could see it working.
Had we gone on longer, my choice would have been Alien Isolation on Switch.
Oh, wow.
I can't.
Oh, boy. You have played it once?
I tried playing it once. I didn't get very far. And I will never play it again, ever.
also Mad Max on PC.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the Mad Max game is a great one.
That's
a really, really good game.
That game is so hard. I got to a point where I'm like, this is too challenging. It's a challenge, and it should be challenging. It's Mad Max. It should be challenging. But it got to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. But yeah, that is an excellent tying game. We should do another episode of this. We should, because there are a lot more we could talk about, but we don't want to go on too long, y'all. We're trying to keep these to around an hour because that's a good length for people. Anyway, so there's not going to be next week. There's not going to be a show next week or anything because I need a break. I am burnt out. I know you're probably saying, Brian, one, you don't get paid. And well, you kind of do get paid, but two, you're doing something you love. How can you burn out? Because you can burn out on anything. And as we talked about last week, breaks are healthy.
Go on vacation.
Yeah. Breaks are healthy. So next week, no streams, no podcast, no nothing. I've already talked to the crew about it. They're fine with it. Thank you guys again for being understanding. So yeah, no show next week.
I may stream on Discord, but yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to interact with us, join our Discord server. Say hi in the chat to in the welcome chat so we know you're not a robot or trying to shill crypto or both. You can interact with the rest of us there.
It's you can go to discord.spacegamejunkie.com. If you want to join our Discord,
did you actually set that up?
Yeah. Yeah. Fancy. It's very handy to have that. if you don't have your own domain, y'all, and you can afford it, get your own domain. Seriously, worth it. But anyway, yeah, so no show next week, no streams next week, because I need a break. Breaks are good. I need to recharge my batteries. So yeah, we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. We're still working out the topic, but we'll have a good one. So thank you everyone for listening. Great chat today. A lot of people in the chat. Great chat today. A lot of great games came up today, and I need to see if I have those DS Transformers games. I might, actually. And with that, oh God, I almost forgot the ending things. Friends, please get your vaccines if you haven't already. We're still in a pandemic. Please get all the vaccines you can. Get all your boosters. Get all your flu shots. Wear your masks, because you're not only helping yourself to get sick, not get sick, but you're helping others to not get sick. So please do all the things that you need to do, because we're still in a pandemic. Thank you, as always, to our patrons who literally help pay for things like Restream, which is several hundred dollars a year. So it's worth it, obviously, but you know, it's not cheap. So thank you for that. And with that, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to start what might be a multi-episode playthrough. We'll see how it goes, of Alpha Protocol. We're going to stream some Alpha Protocol tomorrow, since it's just in GOG.
Boy, that's going to be a spicy one.
We're going to stream some Alpha Protocol tomorrow. I can't wait. I love that game so much. Have a good one, y'all, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.